Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Bottled or tap? When you're asked that question in a restaurant, maybe you base your decision on how much it'll add to your bill. But what you may not know is that when it comes to bottled water, there may be environmental and health costs as well. Here now is author Elizabeth Royt. You might remember her last book, Garbage Land, On the Secret Trail of Trash. You were on Leonard Lopate's show for that book, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Her new book is Bottle Mania, How Water Went on Sale and Why We Bought It. So, Elizabeth Royt, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Now, to reference your book subtitle there, How Water Went on Sale and Why We Bought It, there is certainly this image that bottled water is more pure than tap. Is that why we started buying it in the first place?
No. In the first place, it started much smaller, and there were bottled water really came on the scene in this country in a big way in the late 70s with Perrier, and it was associated with status, and it was a niche product. It came in glass bottles. But the bottled water industry in this country didn't really take off until a kind of unheralded technological innovation in the late 80s when PET plastic became available, and bottlers could get out of heavy glass bottles and go to lightweight, clear, cheap bottles. And then tens of millions of dollars are spent on advertising. Water was linked with wellness, fashion, health. And it was a time when we were looking inside ourselves for to be healthy. And now that has changed. It's grown exponentially. It's an $11 billion industry, and now we're looking outside ourselves at the health of the planet, and that's why I think we're more concerned about bottled water now.
Health of the planet and also health of ourselves, because you mentioned the bottles, and probably the issue that's most on the mind of our listeners right now with regard to this is the recent reports about chemicals of concern that are in some plastics. The big issue at the moment is bisphenol A or BPA, which is believed to be an endocrine disruptor in the hard Nalgene bottles. What's the BPA story?
The bisphenol A is a chemical used to make bottles hard, so that's why it's in those Nalgenes.
And so those are the ones that are harder than, you know, the usual soft little
crinkly. Those are PET plastic, and they have number ones on them. These polycarbonate bottles have number sevens, but it's a little confusing because not every number seven bottle has bisphenol in it. It's also, you'll notice, the big 5-gallon water bottles that are delivered here to NYC and to offices all over the city are number seven bottles, and those may contain bisphenol also.
And I think people's simple, as I, you know, stunned now on the water that I've been drinking in the studio every day during the show for years and years. But the assumption probably was that the harder bottles were safer than the softer, crinkly PET bottles because they seem more substantial, so less likely to break down.
Well, the hard bottles were great because you could wash them. We could reuse them. That was the whole point of them. Yeah. We are not buying disposable bottles.
Right.
We're using these.
Also that.
They don't break when you drop them and so on. But the little crinkly bottles are lightweight, cheap, and they do not have bisphenol in them. But they don't have phthalates in them either, which is another chemical of concern that people have been talking about on the internet. So my book goes a little bit into these and sort of gets at the heart. There aren't phthalates in the number one bottles, the thin, crinkly, smaller bottles. There are phthalates, though, in number two bottles, which are the 1-gallon jugs and the 2.5-gallon jugs with the spigots. And the bisphenol is in those Nalgenes, although Nalgene is phasing out its use of bisphenol.
And I should say that the International Bottled Water Association, the industry group, is not loving your book. And they sent out a press release last week which tries to refute some of your claims. With respect to this, it says, all plastics intended for contact with food or beverages, including bottled water, are regulated by the FDA to help assure their safety. The materials used in all bottled water containers are shown to be safe through extensive laboratory testing.
Yes, they have been tested by the industry, and it's the industry that provides the data to the FDA. And they do measure phthalate levels in bottled water, it is true, but they measure them at the plant, and a lot of this water sits around for up to 2 years, and that's when you start to get some migration. I don't think this is a huge concern. I don't drink bottled water. I still use my Nalgene now and then, but I'm an adult, and it's easier. Your body can clear bisphenol. It's more difficult for smaller people and fetuses. But there's bisphenol in all kinds of products. That's another concern. It's in the lining of cans. It's even in tap water because it's used in the water mains. So as I was saying, I usually use a metal bottle, but I'm not afraid of my Nalgene. I just don't wash it in very hot water because the heat leaches more chemicals, and strong detergents do also.
We can't take your phone calls for my guest, Elizabeth Reut, author of Garbage Land, author now, her new book, Bottle Mania, How Water Went on Sale and Why We Bought It. Let's talk about bottled water. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And it's not just the Nalgene. We discard 30 to 40 billion with a B plastic bottles a year here in the United States alone. It takes 17 million barrels of oil to make bottles for the U.S. market alone. And yet the image until very, very recently has been, you know, of the health and environmental conscious carrying water bottles in the special water bottle pouches that they have in the last 10 years or so of our backpacks.
Right. We were told that we needed to drink eight-ounce glasses of water a day. Hydration was crucial. And these images of models and celebrities drinking the water helped a lot. And they talked about how water suppressed their appetite and made their skin look great. But there's no scientific evidence for this 8x8 rule. People were thinking, we were sold on the idea that bottled water was better than tap water, and it isn't. They're pretty close. We could talk a lot about the differences between them, but...
Well, let's talk a little bit, because probably people were a little stunned a minute ago to hear you say that there are some bisphenol in the... some BPA.
The big ones.
in the tap water, too.
Ah, right. Right, it's in the epoxies that join the mains together. There's all kinds of stuff in tap water, and there's all kinds of stuff in bottled water also. The FDA regulates bottled water, the EPA regulates tap, and the FDA allows the same complement of contaminants in bottled as tap, except that the FDA lets there be more coliform bacteria and cryptosporidium in bottled water unless you are a bottler that's a member of the International Bottled Water Association, which doesn't tolerate any of this stuff. So if your bottled water has one of these little IBWA symbols on it, it is more closely monitored. The problem with bottled water is that it's inspected far less frequently than tap water, and the results of the tests aren't made public, so you'll never know what the inspectors found when they went to the plant.
So because it's an industry that's private, it's not a public utility,
right,
then the inspections... don't have to be, the inspection results don't have to be revealed to the public.
Exactly.
Huh.
We have a right to know report, I brought mine in, that the city sends out to us, so you can find out what the DEP inspectors found in your water.
Eric in Springfield Gardens, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. I'm just comment as a civil servant, and this has been mentioned in the chief. The comment is that as a civil servant, it's a matter of loyalty to the city that we should use city water. And in fact, if there's something wrong with the city water, it should be fixed. And we're spending a tremendous amount of taxpayer dollars, like on that third water tunnel, and billions. Of course, I know there's other water besides bottles, but the point is we need to find out what's wrong with city water and not go to a bottle of water.
Eric, thank you very much. Are you a New Yorker, Elizabeth?
I grew up outside Boston, but I've lived here for many years.
So you lived here for many years. And have you undertaken as part of your research to confirm or refute the good reputation that New York City tap water has?
Yeah. Well, I went out with the DEP, and of course they told me the water was great. But I learned more and more about tap water that was a little bit unnerving. And I looked at water across the country. And I was concerned with disinfection byproducts. And I know that in our upstate reservoirs, more intense storms are washing more sediment and other material into the reservoirs. And we're not doing a good enough job protecting land up there. So with more development, you have more stuff washing in. And when you have more organic material in the reservoirs, they have to put in more chlorine. And when organic matter mixes with chlorine, you get disinfection byproducts, which are linked with cancer. So that was my big concern, and I shelled out $140 for a water test and found that my disinfection byproducts were well below the federal limits. The only problem with my water in Brooklyn was high manganese, which I then talked to a manganese expert and found out that it wasn't harmful for me or my young daughter. So I'm not concerned at all.
So you're happy with your tap water?
Very happy.
What part of the city do you live in?
I live in Park Slope.
Lori in Manhattan, you're on WNYC, self-effacing Park Slope, almost embarrassed to live in Park Slope.
At this point, yeah.
Lori in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Yes, good morning. I use the Brita water filtration bottle, which is plastic.
And a touch-tone phone.
Yeah, I'm sorry, somebody was using it. And I want to know, since it's a plastic bottle, it's hard plastic, does it contain the material that you were talking about?
BPA, in the Brita water filters.
I asked the Brita people that, and they told me that it doesn't leach, but it doesn't have bisphenol in it.
Thank you, Lori. You've said, Elizabeth, that 89% of the country's public water supply does an excellent job. Where, might I ask, is the other 11%?
The other 11%, which represents like 27 million people, live in small communities or on Indian lands, and they lack the resources to take better care of the water, or they don't have the advanced treatment technology, or they don't have the personnel and training them and retaining them. There are also communities that when the federal government lowered the level for arsenic suddenly came out of compliance and are having trouble getting the arsenic out of the water or finding new sources of water.
Katie in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning. I work at Joe Bastianich and Mario Batali's restaurant here in Manhattan, and they just stopped doing bottled water for, you know, such as Pellegrino. And we have our own taps that are built in. And to cut on, because of the energy cost that's used to make any sort of bottled or glass water. So I was wondering if you think it would, like, if it would actually catch on in restaurants, you know, in the United States. And it comes out actually in a tap. We add our own bubbles. It's actually really, it's a really good
idea. That's really interesting. This wasn't a Batali product placement, was it?
I just think I think it's very important, especially for restaurants, because it's a mass amount of energy waste.
Katie, thank you. That's an interesting innovation.
Yeah, actually, the whole backlash against bottled water that started last year began with Alice Waters at Chez Panisse in Berkeley halting her sales of bottled water, and that got a lot of publicity. And actually, another restaurant in San Francisco, Encanto, was the first to do it, and other high-end restaurants have done this across the country, mostly on the coasts. But
here's how deep you take this. In your book, and here's how seriously. You ask the question, who owns our water? And you write that it's been said by water activists that the fight over water is a fight for democracy itself. That is a big statement.
It's a big statement, and I came to that because I focused on a small town in Maine called Freiburg, where Nestle Corporation, which owns Poland Spring and Deer Park and Arrowhead and all these major spring water brands.
Poland Spring and Deer Park are part of the same company?
Yes, they are. And Arrowhead.
And they're part of Nestle?
Ice Mountain, Zephyr Hills, Ozarka. Those are all their regional brands in the U.S. And they are looking to expand to meet the demand of the market that they see. And so they need to go into more and more towns in Maine because Poland Spring water must come from Maine. It can't be sourced outside the state.
So right in the commercials.
Yes.
Coming to you straight from Maine.
From deep in the heart or deep in the woods of Maine. So there are people in some of these small towns that don't want Nestle trucks there. They don't want their water pumped out of the ground, and they don't want trucks running through their towns. And so it's a modern water war in a place that isn't dry and isn't...
Why don't they want it? It's business. It's, you know, economic development. Is it depleting their water for the locals?
It's a really good question. It's very hard to prove a direct cause and effect relationship between pumping from boreholes and lowered wells. Some people in towns where Nestle is pumping have said that their wells have dried up or been lowered, that there are more contaminants in waterways because they're less diluted. They think that in other places there's been saltwater intrusion from... We know that excessive groundwater pumping is a big problem in this country. We have giant sinkholes in Florida and the saltwater thing. So it's just very difficult to link the pumping of spring water to various effects. But some people still insist this is happening. Other people in Freiburg just don't want the trucks in their neighborhoods. They live in a rural area. They move there. It's a tiny town, and it's 100 trucks a day, 50 in and 50 out.
And so it's democracy at work. It's a public versus a private battle.
It's people
over
saying
water.
No.
Who
it's,
owns the water?
Right. It's people going, reading their town land ordinances and trying to figure out if this is a permitted use. And it's a zoning issue. And over, these people in Freiburg have said, no, we don't want you. And Nestle has come back and sued the town.
Elizabeth Reut will be commuting from Park Slope to read tonight at 6 p.m. at The Tank, 279 Church Street, between Franklin and White Streets in Lower Manhattan, reading, of course, from her new book, Bottle Mania. Thank you very, very much. Very enlightening.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.